Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, my rod and my staff, they comfort me. I've walked through a many dark valley, and because of them, this is the sixth and final version of my testimony. There has been many times where I feared evil, both from others and from that which lies within. But the Lord is my shepherd. Despite years of homelessness, drug and alcohol misuse, depression, and a complete lack of faith in myself, I'm 5 seconds away from turning 50. Those, of course, are past issues that I faced before I met Kirsty in 2024. And I've somehow got here without a broken nose, which is a marvel in itself, because that at least is what could have happened with the life that I've led. You might be asking if that statement considers the 12 years I've been with Kirsty. Yes, it does. So I praise God and give thanks for the life I've had so far and for the lessons that I've learned through both the good times and the bad. And I thank God for Kirsty, because when the cookie crumbles, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for her. That's not just standing here in this church. It's also because of our journeys and how we both started feeling about the way of the world during and after the COVID pandemic. And I thank God that I've met you all, and you've all been so welcoming to me. I have a lot to say thanks for, and that is one of the reasons that I stand here today, to give thanks. John asked me a few weeks ago, when did you recognize Christ as the one true Savior, or words to that effect? He asked me because I said that I was already a believer, but my answer was that I didn't know exactly from when. I remember that at 6 years old, I asked my parents if God wore gloves when he created wasps after being stung on the chin and screaming like a little girl for a couple of minutes. I remember Sunday school around that time, but only vaguely. And then I went to two boarding schools, one Roman Catholic and the other one military focused. In a nutshell, church was a large part of my life until I was 15. After that, that's when life went, shall we say, down some dark valleys. Now though, there are still valleys, but they're not as dark, and I can see pasture ahead. So on reflection, I'd say somewhere around 15 is when I recognized Christ as my one true Savior, with me getting baptized, although sprinkled, I believe is the technical term, when I was 15. But then I didn't really step foot in a church again, certainly not in a meaningful way. All the same though, even though I lost my way, I still had belief. When I met Kirsty in 2014, I told her I was a quiet Christian. I believed, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I didn't know enough, and strangely, I was content with that. Until the events of 2020, that is, and how the world unfolded from there. In between that, I told people that I was a quiet Christian, and any conversation just ended there. Those valleys I mentioned, I never blamed or forgot God. I knew he was there, but I was lost back then, and it took me time for me to realize how he had set the wheels in motion to get me here today. That said, when there was a conversation, I had no fear of mentioning my belief. I just explained that I didn't have the confidence or knowledge to really discuss anything of substance. Since 2020, the question that slowly formed was whether recognizing or just accepting was enough. After a while, Kirsty joined the congregation, and I followed shortly after her baptism. Sporadically at first, but I did grow comfortable quite quickly. And I would have joined sooner, but I was reflecting on a life before entering a place where I thought I could be picked apart for describing myself as a quiet Christian. Then came 2025, which is where I think I could claim to be a regular attendee from. Since then, I've noticed that nearly every Sunday I've found an answer to a burning question embedded somewhere in a sermon. Or I've heard something that I've instantly recognised as being important beyond the message given in the service. There have also been a couple of sermons which I honestly believe could have been written for me, even though they were prepared without any knowledge of where my life was or what was on my mind. Most importantly, they were written and delivered for everyone. So I find that amazing. Now, I could expand on that fraction, but every time I do, I end up with a 15-minute testimony. And I feel like I've already been warned by Andrew that a testimony over 4 minutes might be met with a disapproving glare. Unlucky, Andrew. Don't get me wrong. I'm definitely not the only one who has found value in sermons that seemingly touch on something you're dealing with within the passage that is being preached. I've no doubt that God takes multiple approaches to let you know he's there or to direct you to an answer on something that you've asked for help with. It's just that it's never happened to me before. There have been events in my life where I look at them and recognize that God stepped in some way, which is one of the reasons I started coming here. But this is different. I genuinely feel that God has been speaking to me through his word, and I cannot ignore that. And it's that which has made me question what I know, what I have accepted, and what I have truly recognized. To be fair, those questions were already forming because there are three excellent preachers who share this pulpit. But that event accelerated the process. So looking back at the question, when did you recognize Christ as your one true savior? I thought I did, but on reflection, I don't think I fully understood the true beauty of the gospel until late last year. And every sermon passed there has reinforced that recognition. The reason is because the interactive element I've described changes everything for me. It shows the Bible to be more, which means that there is more to everything else, to God, to Jesus, and how we can be guided when seeking answers or help for whenever we face in life, good or bad. What's more, it shows God to be more real, more there. And I didn't know how much my soul needed to experience that. For context, I only ever ask for guidance and wisdom and a steady mind to listen. Isaiah 30, verse 20. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." I believed before, but I feel that some of that belief was born out of hope, because the idea of death weighs as much as the idea of an eternity in hell. But now that's changed. My confidence isn't hope, it's in knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord and Shepherd.